The scripture reading tonight is taken from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. I'll be reading from the updated New American Standard. That's 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. "And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God."
Good to be here tonight and to be back with you. Hope everyone had a good, restful afternoon. This morning we started what's going to be a series of lessons centered around Philippians chapter 1 at verse 21. Paul, of course, there said, "For to me to live is Christ." And he finished that by saying, "To die is gain." We'll talk a little more about that later. But we started looking at that passage, and I said that we're going to look at something different every week for the next few weeks at least, and that is true. Next week, we're going to deal with Jesus being the Lord of our life. And so we should be able to say, "For to me to live is Christ, for Jesus is the Lord of my life." And we'll talk about what is involved in that on next week. But this morning, we started to look at Jesus being the goal of our life. And I suggested that that simply means that we ought to take aim at Christ. We ought to look at his life, see how he lived, and do our very best to imitate him. Paul in Philippians 2 at verse 5 gives us a little information as to how we can do that. He said, "Let this mind be in you." So if we are going to follow in the steps of Jesus, if we're going to be like he is, then we have to develop his thinking. We have to have his mindset. And so that's very important for all of us to do. And make no mistake about it, a part of being a Christian is being like Christ. As we've often said, we're Christians. That is the idea, followers of Christ. And there's too many who want to reap all of the benefits of being a Christian and enjoy all of the blessings that we have as being in the body of Christ, but we don't want to really follow in the steps of Jesus, and that won't do. If we're going to be Christians, we have to act like Christ. And so hopefully this series of lessons will help us to focus on that and become more and more like Jesus. But this morning, there was a part of the lesson, as you recall, that I just kind of skipped over because I knew I wouldn't have time to look at it and finish the lesson. And so I decided this morning before I got up here that we would revisit this tonight. One of the things we said with regard to Jesus and what we ought to imitate is the fact that he was such a giver. He gave of himself. And you see the passage before you. It's a familiar passage, which is a natural sermon, really, within itself, a good 3-point sermon, actually. But he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might be rich." And if you're here this morning, most of you were, we looked at Philippians chapter 2 with regard to that, because that is really a divine explanation of this particular verse. And you always let the Bible interpret the Bible, and that's what you have in Philippians chapter 2, that Paul was rich when he was in heaven, and he gave up those riches to be made poor, that is, to come to an earth and take on a human nature. He took on the nature of a servant, and he did all of that so that he could become that propitiation, he could become the Lamb of God, and die on the cross, becoming the captain of our salvation, and so that we could be rich. And he, of course, did that. But as we think then about that, Jesus giving, then we should follow Jesus by giving. If we are really Christians, we will be givers, because that's what Christ was. We will be willing to give of ourselves. Now, tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to look at the few things that I have listed here with regard to that. When we think about giving, we think about giving financially. Now, I'm only going to spend a minute on this because if you recall, I just preached a lesson, an entire lesson on giving. Now, that's not something we do a whole lot of, is it? Like, I know, generally speaking, in churches of Christ, you don't hear preachers getting up Sunday after Sunday or, you know, month after month even and preach entire sermons on giving. And there are some practical reasons for that. One is, well, let me explain it like this. A lot of the denominational churches do that. They're notorious for doing that because they have to. Because they get themselves in a financial bind by doing all kind of unauthorized things. Things you don't read about in the Bible, and they're huge, gigantic kind of events that cost a whole lot of money. And in order to finance all of that, they need a bunch of money to come in. So they put themselves in a bind where they have to beg and beg and beg and beg in order to do that. Now, another aside to that, there are some of these so-called denominational, really the TV evangelists, who in the whole process are getting rich. And that's not to be overlooked either. There's motivation for them to talk over and over and over about giving, about so-called tithing and all of that, which we're not commanded to do today. But they have motivation for all of that. Well, first of all, so far as I know, there are no preachers in churches of Christ getting rich. And second of all, we don't, as sound congregations, we don't get involved, if we are indeed sound, and we are here at Brown Street, we don't get involved in all of these unauthorized things that demand that we beg money of you. But what's lost in all of that is it is commanded to give. We are commanded to give. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 lets us know we must lay by in store as we have been prospered. And so, again, it's not a tithing situation. We give as God has prospered us, and each individual Christian determines how he or she has been prospered. And so we need to give. But, again, I'm not going to stay on this very long because I just preached an entire sermon on it. And the one thing I would say here at Brown Street is we need to recognize not only is it a command to give, and so we need to do that. If we want to go to heaven, if we want to be faithful to God, we have to do what the Bible tells us to do. But again, from a practical standpoint, we should know. For the work of the church to go on, for souls to be saved, the work to be done, then the local church needs faithful members giving in a reliable fashion. And so everything from the lights on in this building, having this building, is possible because of the giving of the saints. All of the preaching that we do, and you all supported me in the preaching of the gospel, is because saints are willing to give. The man that is coming to hold a meeting for us next year from Africa, Christian, it's because he is an example of the giving that we do and where your money goes when you lay by in store. And so it's very important. We need we have a budget like everybody else, and so we do need funds. We don't beg and plead and that sort of thing. But every once in a while, you ought to look on the communication table at our finances that's open for everyone to see and take note of where we are financially. We're blessed to have good givers and to have a good treasury, but we need to keep that flowing. And so we have a responsibility to give. But when we think about giving financially is by no means the only way that we should be giving. That might be the first thing we think of with regard to giving, maybe rightfully so, but there's a whole lot we can give. So here's three more things very quickly that we can give. We can give our time. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, and this is a passage that really is evangelical in nature, evangelistic in nature. Colossians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 2. Colossians 4, and at verse 2. This is what Paul writes. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am a prisoner, or I am in prison. And you remember from our studies on Sunday morning, those of you who are in the Bible class, this is the same mystery of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the same mystery of Ephesians chapter 3. This is the gospel of Christ. And so again, Paul is talking evangelism here when he talks about declaring this mystery. He says that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. And then he says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. Now, when he says you walk in wisdom towards outsiders, in the context here of him talking about the declaration of the gospel of Christ, what do you think he's talking about? Clearly, he's talking about evangelism. And as we have said, we need to be an evangelistic congregation. And there are still, we can grow in leaps and bounds with regard to that. But you know one thing it takes? Time. It takes time to be a congregation that's truly evangelistic. It takes your time. It takes my time. We have to put time aside. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Make the best use of your time. I have a sermon that I have preached here. I've preached in many places, stewards of our time, and which I talk about time itself. And you have the Greek word chronos, which is a succession of time. We get the English word chronology from that particular word. And so it's what you see on the calendar. But then you have the word that appears here, as well as in Ephesians chapter 5. Kairos is the Greek word, and it means a definite period of time. And basically, Paul is saying, seize the moment. You take advantage of every opportunity you have to serve Jesus Christ. You make the best use of your time by taking advantage of opportunities you have, whether you're talking about doing evangelism or other aspects of the work of God, you seize the moment. And that's exactly what we ought to do. Make the best use of our time. How many of us here tonight can say, I am making the best use of my time for God? How many of us can say, I'm giving my time to the Lord? A lot of times we think that if we just toss some money into the collection plate, that's the only thing we need to give. In fact, there are some people even who think that that's it. They give a whole lot, and so there's really nothing else they have to do. As long as they can be here for one service and make sure they have the opportunity to put a check in the plate, everything is good. And there's so much more to give. And your time is one of those things. Make the best use of your time. It takes time to go out and visit members who are sick or in the hospital. It takes time to send out cards, which many of you do a wonderful job doing that sort of thing. It takes time to come to each and every service of the local church, which is commanded, of course. It takes time. Listen to me now. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to do that. But it does take time. And there's some people who aren't willing to put in the time even to come back to Sunday night service or come out to a Wednesday night service. It takes time to be a Christian. And if you don't have enough time to serve the Lord, then some things need to be changed in your schedule. We need to make the best use of our time. You want to give God something? Give your time. Be available to the local church to use you to benefit the cause of Christ. And especially that applies with regard to evangelism. Let's make the time to spread the gospel to those who are lost. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel. It's their only hope of missing hell and making it to heaven. But we need to put in the time to get them the gospel. And then there's prayer. Like one thing I've often said, if you can't give anything else, you can give prayer. And there's some people who can't give very much financially, but you can give as much as anybody else in the body of Christ when it comes to prayer. There are some individuals who don't have the ability to serve physically. Like you might get to the age where your body is broken down, and maybe when we go out in the community and pass out flyers and that sort of thing, you just can't do that. That's understandable. God understands that, but you can give prayer. I don't care how much talent you have or how little talent you have. Every single member of the Brown Street Church of Christ can pray for the growth of this local church, can pray for the preaching, can pray for the elders, can pray for our young people, can pray for the husband and wives, can pray that we remain sound in the faith. Everyone can pray. We need to pray for the president. We need to pray for the direction of this country. The list goes on and on of things we need to pray for. And every one of us should be involved in the practice of praying. You can give that. There's no excuse for not giving that. And prayer works. Prayer is powerful. Look at this passage in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you might recall the situation where Paul was in a life-threatening situation. We just don't know exactly what it was, but because we know Paul always told the truth and his writing was inspired, we know that at some point in Asia, he faced a situation where he really, really thought he was going to die. But this is how he words it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and beginning at about verse 8, he says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Like, Paul really thought in this situation he was going to die. Whatever it was, he thought this, it crossed his mind in the moment, this is it. We're not getting out of this situation. And so he said, "We despaired of life itself." Listen to him. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." That's a wonderful passage. Paul, we see how the faith of Paul grew just like the faith of everyone else. Paul could look at his experience, this situation, whatever it was, and he thought, there's no way out of this. Our back's up against the wall and we cannot escape. We have the sentence of death. And somehow he was delivered. And he never forgot that. And he said, "You know, as I think about my life and I think about my relationship with God and his relationship with me, I know that God is going to be with me. He has delivered me in the past. He'll deliver me now and he'll deliver me in the future." That's confidence born because of the experience that he had. But when I'm interested, there's a lot that can be said about that. But when I'm interested, so far as this lesson is concerned, you look at the very next verse, at verse 11. God gives credit, or Paul rather gives credit to God for delivering him out of that situation. But he says, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." You see the power of prayer? Like, Paul was never going to take credit away from God, but he realized, even in his delivery, that saints play a part. And the part that all of those saints at Corinth could play to help Paul be delivered by God in any future trial that he had was simply prayer. Practice praying. Pray for your brethren. And Paul, by the way, practiced what he preached. We have been making mention as we studied through some of the epistles that Paul wrote, how often he prayed for brethren. Like, he prayed a lot for the brethren at Ephesus, as we're seeing. But he prayed a lot for the brethren at Philippi as well. And he prayed a lot for the brethren at Colossae as well. And he makes mention of that in all of those epistles. One thing Paul did a lot of is pray for others. You can do the same thing. We all can do the same thing. If we can't give anything else, we can give prayer. And we can pray with confidence and pray with faith because God hears and answers our prayer. And Paul here gives credit. In fact, the way the King James reads is that they had a part in helping even in that deliverance of that situation that is described here. It sort of reads in the ESV that Paul has confidence. It's asking them to help in the future. But the King James seems to indicate that they actually had a part in his delivery even in the past. But one way or the other, prayer helps. Give prayer. Start praying regularly for the Brown Street Church of Christ if you're a member here. Pray for other local congregations. We want congregations to be sound and solid all across the world. That's good for the cause of Christ. Pray for your brothers and sisters in other places. Continue to pray for the sick. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. The list goes on and on. You can give prayer. But where does it all begin? It begins with the scripture reading for tonight, doesn't it? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and the verse is 5. But that's the verse on the screen, but let's just start from the beginning of this. Acts 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8 at verse 1. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflown in a wealth of generosity on their part." Now, this whole chapter really is about giving, isn't it? And that's really what we're dealing with in this particular lesson. Jesus willing to give of himself, so we ought to give. And basically, Paul is telling the saints at Corinth, you need to give. You need to give to the poor saints of Jerusalem. And you might remember from reading through all of this, they had promised a year earlier that they would participate in this giving. And they hadn't done it yet, but Paul is reminding them, you need to give to this. You have shown you want to. You have a desire, but now you need to perform the doing of it. And so he gives them some examples, and the key verse is verse 9, where he sets forth the example of Jesus. That whole wonderful verse there is all to encourage the Corinthians to give. And we've never seen such giving as that. And if Jesus was willing to give, we should be willing to give. But here in the first part of the chapter, he gives the example of the brethren of Macedonia. It's very, very interesting, really. As I have said before, Paul is kind of encouraging a little friendly competition between these brethren. Because when he wrote to the brethren of Macedonia, when he spoke to them, he talked to them about the giving of the saints at Corinth. In other words, he held up their giving. He did it in advance. And that's one of the reasons Paul really wanted the Corinthians to give, so that they would not embarrass him and make him look like he didn't know what he was talking about. Because in advance, he told the brethren of Macedonia, these brethren at Corinth, they are going to give. And so you ought to give. But now, as he writes to the brethren at Corinth, he says, look at these brethren in Macedonia, how they gave. And there's nothing really wrong with that. As long as you don't take something like that too far, there's nothing wrong with us even today looking at each other and saying, you know, I see how this brother is working and serving the Lord. That's wonderful. I'm going to do even more. And, you know, a little friendly competition never hurt anybody, as long as attitudes are right. But that's no doubt about it. That's what Paul does with these churches. So now to the Corinthians, he's saying, look at those brethren of Macedonia. They gave, he says here, in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflown in a wealth of generosity on their part. Like, these brethren were poor. They were in poverty. It's easy to say, when it comes to giving, and now we're back to financially, but when it comes to giving, it's easy to say, well, God expects these brethren to give because they're doing very, very, very well. I'm not doing nearly as good, and so God doesn't expect me to give. Well, as I said in the sermon when I preached on this, you remember, so won't belabor it, but what I said there to you, it's still true. And that is, your poverty doesn't determine whether or not you give. That never determines. It might determine how much you give, but it doesn't determine you giving. We're all commanded to give, rich or poor, or somewhere in between. Well, if I'm in poverty, I can't give. Really? These brethren of Macedonia, they were afflicted by poverty, and yet they gave. In fact, Paul lets us know that they gave more than he even realized. And they had the right attitude. It says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Didn't that say volumes? They begged Paul, we want to participate in this. We want to help those brethren over there. We're in poverty, but they've been hit by some kind of famine. They're even more need than we are. So we are begging you, let us participate in that. And that impressed even Paul. But verse 5 is simply an explanation of why they had that attitude in the first place. In this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Where does giving all begin? Regardless of what you're talking about, regardless of what it is that you are giving, where does good, scriptural, sincere giving come from? It comes from first giving ourselves to God. When God is most important in your life, and now we're back really to the theme of this entire series of lessons, for to me to live is Christ. Jesus has to be more important to you than anybody and anything else. And when that is truly the case, you'll give the way Jesus gave. You'll be willing to give. Again, the amount that people give varies. And that's true with regard to whatever it is that you give. Like, we can all pray, as I said, but now some might be in position to pray a little more than others. That's just life. And so all of these things, some of you, we need to rearrange our schedule to make sure we have time to give to the Lord. But quite naturally, some are going to have more time than others to give. But whether or not you give in these areas and other areas you can think of, all begins with whether or not you've given yourself to God. Don't forget Matthew 6 at verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Have you given yourself to the Lord? If not, you're going to have kind of a hard time making Jesus the center of your life and making Jesus the goal of your life and imitating Him. If you'll give yourself to God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, put Him first, then you'll be able to be like Jesus. So hopefully we'll be willing to do that. On next week, we'll talk a little bit about Jesus being the Lord of our life. Have you given yourself? It all begins with obeying the gospel of Christ. You have to give up that old man. That old man has to be crucified. Galatians 2 and at verse 20 talks about that. That old man has to be destroyed. That old nature. The only way that is possible. The only way, as Peter said, you can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The only way you can do that is by obeying the gospel. There's not a plurality of ways. There's just one way. Because only God can take care and truly cover your sins. And to do that, you have to obey the gospel. Mark 16 at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that this very night. And in the midst of all of that, in believing in Jesus and being baptized, we'll be escaping the sin of the world, the corruption of the world, becoming a new creature in Christ and entering into fellowship with God. Your part is to believe in Jesus. He is that Christ, the Son of the living God. And being buried in the waters of baptism where you contact His blood and those sins are washed away by the power of God. Why not do that? Why not do that tonight? You may not have tomorrow, but you have right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.